Thanks for joining us today for another in our series of The Shepherd's Heart, presenting timeless truth for such a time as this. Today we will listen to a message by Pastor James Richards recorded at the Hillview Baptist Church in Montego Bay, Jamaica, where he served as senior pastor for 12 years. He also served for 7 years as the president of Fairview Baptist Bible College in Jamaica. Pastor Richards now ministers at the Mountain Stream Baptist Church in Pennsylvania, USA. We pray that your hearts will be blessed.
A few weeks ago, my wife and I were going to attend a funeral at a church I had been to before many years ago. I was not the one who drove, but I'd been to the church. I had an idea where it was, but I wasn't very sure where it was, so I asked for some directions, and I was given directions. I was pretty much told that once you have to turn off a main road, and once you turn off the main road, you pretty much followed a straight road and you'd get to the church. I like that, because I more or less knew where the turn off was on the main road, and it said just follow the road. And so we turned off on the road as we were told, and we began to follow the straight road. Except that after a while, we came to a place where one piece of the road went that way and the other piece went that way. And as we came up to it, I kind of thought for a minute and said, I wonder if I should go this way. But the instruction was stay on the straight road. So I figured, all right, this piece more or less continues straight. I'll go with it. But shortly after we got onto it, I began to say to my wife, this don't look like is a right road to me. And we drove on a little bit and then we saw it was farming country, so it didn't come across people too often. And then we saw some folk and we said, is this a road to such and such a community? And he said, no, actually at the junction down there you should have gone right. But here's what was interesting too, on that little road that we ended up on, it was kind of a narrow road, and so you almost had to look for some place to be able to turn around and to get back in the right direction. But we thank God we're able to turn around. We're already late. Well, we knew we were going to be late for the funeral. That made us just a little later, but we got there in fairly good time. But it was interesting to me what happens to you when you come up on a crossroad or a junction. Sometimes a crossroad can be a blessing or it can be a burden. Let me tell you, it can be a challenge, because when you come up to it, you have to make up your mind which side you're going to take, which hand you're going to take. If you're on a straight road and there is no crossroad or junction, you just keep on going. But anytime you come to a junction, anytime you come to a crossroads, you have to determine, will I just keep on going straight? Will I turn right? Will I turn left? Depending on the junction. So it can be a challenge. And sometimes it can be a blessing, because you're going on a road that is so narrow that you can't turn around, but when you come to the junction, you have an opportunity to change direction. This morning I want to talk to you about crossroads on the highway to destruction. Crossroads on the highway to destruction. I thank God, and we'll mention it a little later, that God has a way of putting crossroads on the highway to destruction, because God wants to give us an option. And many of us get on this highway without even realizing we're on it. In fact, all of us are born on the wrong highway, heading in the wrong direction away from God. The Bible says that's how we are born. And then many of us make choices by how we live that only confirm the direction in which we're going. But God gives us an opportunity to turn around. And I want to share with you from an account very, very well in the scriptures. And because of the nature of the account, we can't read through all of it. But I believe there are some lessons there. For the last several weeks, we've been looking at people I've called rogues in the Bible. And today we're going to go to the book of Exodus. We're going to come face to face with a king. And we're going to see the crossroads that God placed in his life, and ask ourselves, and I'll ask you, has God or is God placing a crossroad before you today? And What will you take? Which side will you take? You can probably go to Exodus chapter 5, because eventually that's where we're going to work our way from chapter 5 to chapter 14. The story, just in case there may be one or two of you who didn't pay attention in Sunday school, and or, you know, it's been so long you have forgotten the story. You will remember that in the end of Genesis, Joseph was in Egypt, and God had given him information about a great famine that was going to come, and he told Pharaoh about it, and Pharaoh could prepare for the famine. And so when the famine came, nobody else, the surrounding countries, did not have food, but there was food down in Egypt. And Joseph's family, through Joseph's influence, came down to Egypt and settled, and God blessed them. They did very well down in Egypt. When we pick up in Exodus, it's some 400, probably 380 or so, 400 years later. And things have changed in Egypt. Egypt is a prosperous nation. The Israelites are living there, but there are some new people in leadership. And they do not remember that it was through Joseph, who was an Israelite, that the whole land of Egypt was spared. And they began to be wary of this foreign nation, this squatter nation, as it were, that was becoming so great and so large in their midst. And so they decided to do something to protect themselves, and they made the Israelites into slaves. And that didn't even satisfy the problem, because the Israelites continued to multiply. And so they started ordering the killing of children. One boy who should have been killed was Moses, but he was spared. And he was brought up by the Egyptians, and he at one point tried to rescue Israel by killing a taskmaster. But that didn't pay off, and he ran off into the wilderness, abandoning any dream of ever doing anything worthwhile for God. And God comes back to Moses and says, Moses, I am sending you down to Egypt to confront Pharaoh and to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And Moses didn't want to go, but God convinced him, and Moses went. And an amazing conflict or contest ensued between Pharaoh and God, because Pharaoh might have thought it was between him and Moses, but really it was a contest between Pharaoh and God. And I believe you'll know the story that God brought 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt. And at the final plague, because God said to Pharaoh, let my people go, let my people go, he would not listen. It took him 10 plagues, and he finally said, all right, God, I'm letting your people go. And even after that, he still turned around and pursued after them in an effort to recapture them. And God summarily executed Pharaoh and his army. But it's an interesting picture to me to watch that all along Pharaoh's life, God gave him options. In fact, every single plague provided an opportunity for Pharaoh to change his mind. But there were some high points that, apart from each little opportunity, there were some high points that he came to that he could make a change. And he didn't. He didn't. But you know, a couple of the things I want us to look on. There are some realities that this account teaches us. And I want to share them with you today, because they are so critical with regards to how you live. The first reality about crossroads on the highway to judgment is that these crossroads tell us that we have a choice about how we live. You have a choice about where you go, what you do, and therefore how much responsibility you will have for your own life. We really don't have any choices. We are controlled by great cosmic forces that push us into directions. In fact, some of us are making God responsible for what we do. And we say, listen, I can't do anything else. Well, this is interesting because this story of Pharaoh is perhaps one of the toughest stories in the Bible to prove that a man had choice. But I'm glad to say, you know why? If we can prove or establish that Pharaoh had a choice about where he was going and what he was doing, then if Pharaoh had a choice, you have a choice today. You know why Pharaoh's story is so difficult? There's several things about it that makes it so difficult. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 21, look at this for me. Exodus 4, verse 21, we have an amazing statement. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart. Hold on. Isn't God? God declares that he will harden Pharaoh's heart. If God hardens Pharaoh's heart, does Pharaoh have a choice? All right. Yeah, we're running into some problems here. God has predicted that he will harden Pharaoh's heart. Second reason. You know, we have to ask these tough questions. Let us maybe don't skirt around them because people have these questions. God predicted he would harden Pharaoh's heart. But guess what? The Bible declares that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. We're in Exodus 9, verse 12. Look on that. I'm just taking you to some places. And it's not the only place there, but Exodus 9, verse 12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. So here's a challenge. God predicted he would harden Pharaoh's heart. The Bible declares that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Did Pharaoh have a choice? I don't answer too quickly. But think about it. And here's one other reason Pharaoh's case is so difficult. God tells us in that same Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, he said, Pharaoh, and in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. The Bible said, God said, Pharaoh, I raised you up for the selfsame purpose, that my power might be demonstrated in the earth. So did Pharaoh have a choice? You see, here we have a case before us of a man who is rushing down the road of destruction. And we have to ask ourselves, could Pharaoh have changed his mind? Did Pharaoh have a choice? And at first when we look on it, it's a tough question because God predicts that he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart. The Bible declares that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God said, Pharaoh, I have raised you up so I can show my power in you. So it almost seems like Pharaoh has no choice. Notice I said almost seems. Because I believe when you begin to study the account a little better, you find out that Pharaoh did have a choice. Let me point out a couple of things to you. God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Here's a question. When did God begin to harden Pharaoh's heart? Because that's going to be important, you know. No. Here's why it's so important. I want to take you back. In chapter 4, God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I want to take you back to chapter 3, verse 19. Does 3 come before 4? Great. I'm glad it does. That helps something. Chapter 3, verse 19. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. Well, maybe I should go to verse 18. He says, go to the elders of Israel. They shall hearken unto your voice when you tell them that you have come to deliver us. And he says, no, you will go unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech you, 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Here's God speaking, verse 8. What does God say? I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, here's what I want to point out to you. From way back in chapter 3, God says, I know he won't. God hasn't said I'm going to harden his heart. God says he will not let you go. I know he will not let you go. All right? So I want us to go back earlier in the story and understand that God is speaking about something that he knows is going to happen. God has not declared yet that he's going to do anything to Pharaoh. He just says, when you go to Pharaoh, I already know that Pharaoh will not listen to you. So God is saying right here from chapter 3, Pharaoh already has a choice. But Pharaoh is going to choose not to let you go. I should probably point out to you, and we'll come to it. Let me go to it. The next question was asked, not only when did God harden Pharaoh's heart, but how did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Because here's a mistake we make. Here's what we think. We think that Pharaoh's heart was soft and God hardened it. You see, when you read, as you're thinking that, you know, here is a man who really wanted to do God's will, but God made his heart hard so he couldn't do the will of God. Go back and read your Exodus. What actually happened, here's what happened. Pharaoh's heart was hard, and God chose not to soften it. So don't go blame God, because when you begin to read, let me show you what I'm talking about. Pharaoh came up in a system. He was not the one who instituted it. The Bible said the other Pharaoh who started it died. And here's a new Pharaoh. But here's what this new Pharaoh doing. He was taking baby boys and saying to the mothers, when your babies are born, go throw them in the Nile River and kill them. What kind of heart is that in a person? Is that a tender heart? Here is a man who has a whole nation and he has enslaved them and he's working them hard and he feels good about it. Is that a tender heart? The first time God sends Moses to him in chapter 5, and Moses said, sir, we're asking you to give us 3 days. Give us 3 days vacation. We have been slaves for hundreds of years. Can you give us three days vacation to go out in the wilderness? That's all he went and asked, you know, to go over and worship. You know what Pharaoh said? What? No, uno mad. You know what? Uno not have enough work doing. You come here asking me for vacation to go worship. Listen. You know why you want this? You just don't have enough work to do. And you see what I'm going to know? I'm going to put on the pressure. In fact, I used to give you straw and stuff to make bricks. No more straw. Go find your own straw and you have to make as many bricks as you used to make before. And when the people didn't make the bricks, he turned around and beat the foreman. Tell me if that is a tender heart. Before you jump on your high horse and say that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, understand that Pharaoh was a man with a very hard heart. And all God did was that God said, I do not have to soften it. I came to you and I presented my case to you, but you already have a hard heart. So before you blame God for Pharaoh's heart, check Pharaoh's heart. Oh, and by the way, when you say, well, God raised him up. Yeah. God took this vessel of wrath. God knew the kind of man Pharaoh was. And God said, for the world to know my power, I will challenge this man. And I will bring him to a place where people can understand. It was not God raised up his hard heart. God took this hard-hearted man and put him in a position in Egypt to expose man's heart and God's greatness. So when you study this, and let me say one other thing about it. When you know the character of God, you understand that Pharaoh had a choice. We had you in chapter 9, verse, you know, we moved you over. We're in chapter 9. Look at chapter 9, verse 17 again. I know you're flipping over and over a little bit, but that's fine. In chapter 17, God says to him, to Pharaoh, and yet thou exaltest thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. God said, Pharaoh, you are exalting yourself. Now, if you know God any at all, you will understand that Pharaoh had a choice because God is absolute truth. God couldn't harden Pharaoh's heart that Pharaoh can't do anything about it and then turn around and say to him, you are exalting yourself. That's not God. You have to make a choice between what you know of God and what God has said. Each time God goes to Pharaoh, God says to him, you have a choice. Now, let me say this to your friends. You might be in a difficult situation. And sometimes we say in Jamaica, anyway you turn, Maka juke you. But one of the things you need to know when it comes to life, you have a choice about what you do. Oh, some of you have some circumstances. You know what? Sometimes you put yourself in those circumstances. And it is difficult. And any choice you make is going to hurt. But you have a choice. When it comes to trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your circumstances are. Whether or not you trust Jesus Christ as Savior is your choice. God says, unless you repent, you shall perish. Unless you repent, God puts the burden on your shoulders. Jesus Christ said, this is the condemnation. Light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light. God said to the Israelites way back, listen, I set before you today life and death. You choose it. In fact, he said, he told them what to choose. Wouldn't you like that? To get a test and the teacher tell you which one to choose. choose life. And guess what? Some of us still fail the test. You know, I remember, being honest, this was amazing to me. I was in college, not in Jamaica. I was in college at time. And I was going to write an exam. And the professor came in, you know, the last class before the exam and said, no, here are the three questions which are going to be on the exam. I wrote them on the board. And then he said, here's what I want for the answer. In your notes, section so-and-so for this one, section so-and-so. And I'm sitting there with my mouth almost on my desktop. I'm saying, there must be some catch to this. I don't believe this. But anyway, I took notice and I went and studied and did the exam. Of course, you know, you did well. You know what struck me? There are some people who barely managed to pass the exam. And I'm saying to myself, the teacher came and told you the question and told you the answer and give you a week to go study. And you come back and almost fail. You want a beating. But anyway, no. But here's the point I'm making. God says you have a choice, and God is actually telling you what you should choose. And so you and I must have an understanding in our hearts that we make choices and we have an option. And because we have options, we are responsible for the outcome of our choices. Did Pharaoh have a choice? Yes, he did. In fact, you're going to find that Pharaoh hardened his heart before God ever stepped in. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. But I want to establish to you very clearly that when you come to these crossroads on the highway of judgment or destruction, they are saying to you, you have a choice about where you're going. You do not have to continue on this road. You can turn. You can make a change in your life. And some of you, as I said, you have set out on a difficult road, but God has placed a crossroad before you. God brings you to a place where you can make a choice about the next step you'll make. And when God does that, you have an opening. You can get off the road. Amen. Don't continue. But here's something else I find from this account, which is very, very sobering. Not just that we have a choice, so we are responsible. But I find out that you expose yourself to danger the longer you delay making the right choice. You know,
I've been struck by the fact that there are some people here today who, right now, you haven't surrendered to the Lord yet. And may I say something to you? You did not know that up till now you would not have surrendered to the Lord. What do I mean by that? You have it in your mind, maybe as many as 4 years, 5 years, a month, 2 months, maybe more than that. You said, you know something? I know I need to do business with the Lord, but I'm going to do it later. Don't put up your hands, but I'm going to ask you, have you ever done that? And let me ask you, why is it up until now you're still in the state you're in? And get this, some of your things have gotten even a little more complicated. You know why? There is grave danger in delay. And I find a lot of people, when God speaks to you, you know what you need to do, but you say, I am going to do it. I intend to do it, but I intend to do it later. That's absolutely dangerous. When you begin to understand this road of destruction, the first chance you get to come off, jump off. Because the longer you stay, the rebellion breeds more rebellion in your heart. Stubbornness gives rise to more stubbornness. And you're going to find that if you're not careful, there comes a time when you can't even come off the road. God gave an opportunity. Watch with me what happens with Pharaoh. God gave him an opportunity. And every time God presented him with an option, he turned his back on it. Until there came a time when he made an awful choice. The first confrontation occurs in Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And Pharaoh comes to the first crossroad in his life. I don't know, it seemed to me that up until this point, Pharaoh was doing what he thought he was doing to protect himself. He was in Egypt. He thought these people were interlopers. He thought they would harm his nation. So he was trying to protect himself. You know, to be fair to you, most times when we make decisions, we think we are protecting ourselves. We're doing what we think is best for us. Some of us get into some relationships because we think it's best for us. Some of us get into some business dealings because we think we're protecting ourselves. Some of us do some unkind things to some other people because we think we are protecting ourselves. We're trying to help ourselves. Pharaoh thought he was helping himself. But in Exodus chapter 5, God sent a messenger to him and said, Pharaoh, I have news for you. What you are doing is wrong, and I'm asking you, telling you to stop. Chapter 5, verse 1, the Lord says to him, afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. God says to them, let the people go. Pharaoh now has a chance to stop and think about what he's doing, because maybe he had never thought about it before. And look at Pharaoh's response. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. What an amazing statement. You know, I don't believe Pharaoh meant that he had never heard about Jehovah before. The Israelites have been living in Israel for nearly, the Israelites have been living in Egypt for nearly 400 years. Pharaoh must have heard the name Jehovah at some point. He knew they had a God. And notice I say a God, because I'm talking like Pharaoh. But you know what? Pharaoh never really rate Jehovah. You see? Because he had Jehovah's people in captivity. So what kind of God that for it? You know, I find that there are a lot of people who still don't know God. You see, sometimes we look around and Christians might be struggling a little bit. And we say, then what kind of God them they serve? You don't even understand what's going on. And there are even Christians today who have tried to serve God. And you get into a little bit of a struggle. And you begin to ask yourself if God is worth serving. You don't know God. And Pharaoh didn't. And so Pharaoh for the first time is given clear information that he's wrong. He's given a clear invitation to change. God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh made a costly mistake. First of all, he thought God was making a suggestion to him. You know, when God said to him, let my people go, he didn't understand that this was not a suggestion. This was an order. This was a directive. God wasn't suggesting to him that it would be a nice thing. God is saying, listen to me, drop what you're doing, change your action, and do what I have said. You know how many of you come to church, and when God speaks to you, you think God is making a suggestion to you? Listen, friend, if you need Jesus Christ as Savior, God isn't suggesting that you get saved. He's commanding men everywhere to repent. That is what the apostle said in the book of Acts. But no, he commands all men everywhere to repent. It's not a suggestion. It's not even a request. God is giving you a command. So when you choose not to trust Christ as Savior, you have just disobeyed a command from God. And I want to make it clear, because some of you think it's a suggestion. Sir, madam, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are resisting His will, if you are living with sin in your life and God has spoken to you, it is not a suggestion to change. It is a command. And Pharaoh thought he was given a suggestion. And so he behaved like with a suggestion and said, listen, I don't think I'll take your suggestion. I think I'll do something else. And in fact, he asserted his right to live the way he was living. He said, in fact, I'm going to prove to you that I have a right to live how I'm living. I'm going to make things heavier for the Israelites. Let them go. If I let them go, I'm going to do more of what I am doing and do it harder. And there's some of you, when God speaks to you, you feel that you have to assert your right to. It's my life. It's not your life. God gave you life. And you're responsible to God for how you live. And as you, and as God speaks to you, God comes and God speaks to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says at this first crossroad, I'm not turning off because I have a right to do what I want to do. Well, God brings him to a second major crossroad in chapter 8, verses 16 through 19. This is now three plagues down the road. God has turned the waters of the Nile into blood. God has brought frogs upon the land of Egypt. And before all of that, God had caused Moses to drop his rod before Pharaoh and it became a serpent. And now, the third plague is that God says, strike the dust and it will become a lice. Gnats going around, flying, biting up everybody. And Moses does that. But well, here's what happens in chapter 8. It's interesting because up until this point, everything Moses did Pharaoh's magicians could do it. So these circumstances were inconclusive. You know, have you ever been in a situation where God begins to do some things in your life, but people can say to you, it's just coincidence. Yeah, that thing looks strange how it happened, but it's not you alone it happened. It's just coincidence. There's nothing strange about that. Nothing unique about what God is doing. And up until this point, Pharaoh could claim that. He could say, big deal, my magicians can do whatever you're doing. But when he gets to this plague, verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, and it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Now, here's a clear statement saying, Pharaoh, make no mistake about this. Something special is going on here. This is God. We can't touch this. We can't explain it away anymore. God is doing something in your life. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Isn't that amazing? You come to a place in your life where you cannot make any excuses. You know now, God is speaking to me. But you decide, I'm still going to go on the way I'm going. Oh, God has brought you know, from those kind of shaky circumstances, and God makes it very clear that he has spoken to you. But you keep on. You see, you have already made up your mind that you're going to be defiant to God. And so your pride has gotten into this. Well, crossroad number 2 is in Exodus chapter 10. He continues on his way. In Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, God has brought another 3 or 4 plagues upon Egypt. And God promises that he's going to bring locusts upon them in chapter 10. And in verse 7, for the sake of time, and Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Even Pharaoh's own advisors are now saying to him, Pharaoh, look here, you're in a losing battle. You know, sister, you lose already. Pharaoh, don't you notice that all of Egypt is destroyed? Why don't you do what this God is demanding? I wonder if there's anybody here whose life is on the brink of destruction and you still don't see what God is doing. Boy, you've gotten yourself in a relationship you shouldn't be in, and the thing is causing you no end of grief, and you still can't see what God is doing. Or you have made a choice about which direction your life is going to go, and you're going in that direction, and the thing is, man, you're almost an emotional wreck by now, but you still don't see what God is doing. And you even have your friends saying to you, how long will you hold out and fight? And I don't understand it. I've watched some people, even some professed Christians, it's obvious that the situation you're in is an unwinnable situation. It is obvious that God's hand is heavy on your life. But you cling to the wrong for dear life. Insisting. Pharaoh's own advisor said, listen, we surrender. You surrender to no? No. Talk about a man's heart. That's hard. And here he is before God. He cannot get off, will not get off the crossroads. And I'm saying to you, you know what Pharaoh should have done? Way back when God spoke to him the first time, he should have listened. And I'm saying to you, when God speaks to you the first time, don't fight God. Because the longer you take to surrender to God, the harder it becomes. Do you know that research has shown that the vast majority of people who live their lives to serve God trusted Christ when they were young people? An amazing statistic. Most people, by the time they reach in their mid-20s, if they haven't trusted Christ as Savior, will not trust Him. Oh, I know some of you have trusted God, Christ, later in life. And I thank God for that. But there are some of you here who you are saying, I will wait until whatever. And the longer you wait, the harder it becomes. I have been to people who are on their deathbeds. The doctor has told them, you don't have much longer to live. And you are witnessing to them about their heart's condition. And they say, are you ready to trust the Lord? And they have to muster up all their strength because they're so feeble they can hardly talk. No. And I'm not doing it to, I'm not picking on them. I'm not being unkind. I'm just saying, and I go, and I leave and I say to myself, what has happened to that person? You're standing at the brink of eternity. But you know what had happened? Over and over you have resisted God. I watched some young people doing some things and we said to you, hey, stop what you're doing. That's not where God wants you to go.
Pastor thinks, old fashioned, you know, say a new time, you know.
Listen, it might be a new time, but it's the same old God. And right and wrong hasn't changed. And some of you don't understand. Even now God is speaking to you and you are insisting you're going to go on your way. And one day we will have to put our shoulders out and say, rest your head on it and cry your tears. God forbid one day we will stand over your own casket with great sorrow in our hearts because we know that you haven't trusted Christ as Savior. I've had some funerals in this church that break my heart. And I hear people and loved ones come and with all their hearts they go and wish you into heaven and into eternal bliss. And I cannot get up and speak a word of comfort. I don't know how much of a burden, if you understand how much of a burden that is for me to stand over the casket of somebody who lived their lives in oppositions against God. And then now they stand here and there's a family weeping their eyes out. And when I can say to us, to the family of a saved person, do not worry. This person's life is secure in God. All I can say to the people who are left, trust Jesus Christ. But some of you don't understand. You don't know how dangerous it is. And so you continue to fight God, thinking one day I will do it. That one day may never come. The time is now to listen to God. Pharaoh disobeyed God until the fourth major crossroad in his life occurs in chapter 10, 21 to 29. After all the plagues, plague number 9 has gone. It is now time for plague number 10. And here Pharaoh to Moses, listen to me. Don't come back in here, come talk to me. If you come back in here, I might kill you. He does not even want to hear from God anymore. And listen, this is the time when he absolutely needed to hear from God. Because this final plague was going to devastate Egypt. But he said, I don't want to hear from God anymore. And there are some of us who we get to the place where God challenges us about how we are living. And every time God challenges us, we harden our heart. Here we say, listen, don't talk to me again. So you stop coming to church. And you find all kinds of excuses to come. And we see pastor to come along out your mouth, make you know nothing. Don't ask me nothing. And you know what you have just done? You have taken your own hands and put the noose around your own neck. And you feel proud of it. You don't understand that the trapdoor is about to fall from beneath your feet. And you have put the noose around your own neck. Pharaoh took the noose. In fact, if it was a gun, Pharaoh took the gun and put it to his own son's head and blew his brains out. Because God was going to take the firstborn in Egypt. Every firstborn son was going to die in Egypt. And Pharaoh said, get out from before me. Don't tell me anything. If only Pharaoh had listened to God way back at crossroads number 1. And I'm saying to your friends, you might be at crossroad number 1. Do, please, turn off that road. Obey God. You may be at 2 or 3, but I'm saying to you, now is the time to get off. Don't wait a moment longer. You wait a moment longer, I have no guarantee that you make the right choice. So you have a choice. There is danger in delay. But let me say this quickly. There is a weakness in the spectacular. There's some of you who are waiting for God to do something spectacular in your life before you will obey God. You say, I want a sign. Can I tell you something? How many signs did Pharaoh get? Pharaoh didn't have hands to count the number of signs on them that he had gotten. Because even before the plagues had started, God had given him a sign of the stick turning to a serpent. And sign after sign after sign after sign. And even after plague number 10, Pharaoh still was not convinced that God was at work. That is why Jesus said, a crooked and a perverse nation seek after a sign. The Lord said, you know something, those of you begging for something spectacular, you're just crooked and wicked in your heart and trying to look a way out as an excuse. Oh, pastor, I didn't see a light shining out of heaven at noonday to strike me down. Pastor, I've not heard a voice out of heaven. Look here. See the voice out of heaven here. And I've just read it in your hearing.
You don't need any more voice out of heaven. God has spoken and you know it. And you're waiting on all these signs and stuff. How many signs do you need? And Pharaoh got every sign and still hardened his heart. And I'm saying to you, oh yeah, there are times when a sign might convince somebody. But you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Blessed are those who have not seen but believe. Faith cometh by hearing. That's Romans. And hearing the word of God. There comes a time when God pulls up to you and God speaks to you. You have to hear what God says and you have to obey what God says. You don't need any sign if God has spoken. And I'll tell you this, if you will not listen to God when he speaks, even when God gives you the sign, you're still not going to believe. Jesus stood before these Jews and Pharisees and worked all kind of miracles. And then they said, give me a sign. Go back over Canaan and ask about the wedding where water was turned into wine. Go to Bartimaeus and ask him, what happened to your eyes? Let him tell you. Go to the widow of Nain and ask her about her dead son and how the son was brought back to life. Go knock up Lazarus and ask him, give me a sign. Beloved, look at our lives that God has changed. And you still want a sign? You don't want any sign. You're just being stubborn. And the sooner you can accept that and then yield in humility to God, it's the better it will be for you. Because it's spectacular. That is why when the rich man said to Father Abraham, send somebody back from the dead. He said, if they won't believe the word, they won't believe even if somebody comes back from the dead. And there's one other lesson and I'll close with this. The crossroads along the highway to destruction tells us not only that we have a choice, not only that there is danger and delay, not only that the spectacular has inherent weaknesses, but it also tells us that we must not trifle with God. Do not trifle with God. Do not make light of God. Two things you must note from this. One, God is merciful. God did not have to give Pharaoh any choice. God could have just marched into Egypt and devastated it, but God mercifully gave him some crossroads. God said, listen to me, I'm giving you a chance to do what is right. I'm giving you a chance to do what is right. God is giving you a chance to do what is right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. What a God. God says there are some issues in your life that you know you need to deal with, and I'm giving you a chance to deal with them. I've laid this cross on. I brought you here today and spoke to you. This is your crossroads. But not only is God merciful, but God is just. He will judge sin. If you resist God's mercy, as Pharaoh did, then God's judgment will fall on your life. And there will come a time when you will face God's irreversible judgment. Because there came a time when Pharaoh marched proudly into the depths of the Red Sea and God covered him with the raging waves of it. And he went out into eternity. You know, there are some of you here today who you've heard God speak to you over and over and over and over again. And I don't know what excuses you're giving yourself, but you're fighting God. You do not understand that God is not to be trifled with. And God will judge you for your sin. That's not God's delight. He would rather forgive you. But if you persist in your stubbornness, God will judge you. But you have a choice. Standing at the crossroads, a choice is mine to make. One leads right, the other left. Which one shall I take? One is straight and narrow. The other way is broad. Will I choose a right road? The one that leads to God. You're at the crossroads today. God has spoken to you. You must make a choice. When you come to a crossroads, it's not business as usual. You are forced to make a choice. Which direction you'll go to? And my question today is, which direction will you take? Will you bow your heads and your hearts with me? Amen. Father, we ask you now to help us to contemplate what you have said to us. Lord, I believe there are so many issues for us to deal with here today. And I pray for each person bowed in your presence. You know that they are precious, precious souls. You love them so much. Oh God, do your work.
Help each of us to understand how critical it is for us to do what you tell us to do now and not to risk your judgment. Lord, there are some who need to trust Christ. Help them now to yield to you. There are some Christians who need to obey you because we've been doing what is wrong. And I ask you to give us clear understanding of where we are and help us to obey you. With the heads bowed and the eyes closed and nobody looking around. Let me talk to the Christians first. Are you here today and God spoke to you? Beloved, it's not any if or but. You are at the crossroads because God caught your attention and said to you, there are some things in your life which are not right. There are some things you are embracing that you know are wrong. And today I'm challenging you to let go of them. God has spoken to you. And you're saying, Pastor, God spoke to me. I mean, with all my heart, I want to obey him. Would you pray that God would give me the grace to obey him? I would be delighted to do that, beloved. Would you just raise your hand where you are and see it? God bless you. 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 Pastor, God spoke to me, and I know he spoke to me. I don't have to pretend. I know him as Savior, but I've been rebellious. I've been heading down the highway, and God has brought me to this crossroads. Pray that God will help me to get on the right road. Is there another like that, child of God, that I should pray for? Several have raised their hands already. God bless you. God sees your heart. You may take it down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I wonder if there could be somebody here who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior. What are you waiting on? Oh, it's not the first time you have heard a word of God. God has spoken to your heart. And beloved, you might think you have a legitimate excuse, but may I say to you, God is not making a suggestion to you. God is giving you a command to trust him. And God says, you trust me and I can work the circumstances out. You're here today and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, but you'd like to trust him. Would you let me pray for you that God will give you the grace to do that? Would you just raise your hand where you are, take it on, saying, Pastor, I know I need to trust Christ. I'd like to trust him. Would you pray for me? Is there one here like that? Just raise your hand where you are. Quickly take it down. I'll see it. God bless you. God bless you. Is there another like that? Maybe you're a backslider, friend. You've walked away from God and you know it. God spoke to you today. At this crossroads in your life, are you willing to say, I'll come back to the Lord, Pastor? Just pray for God to help me. I'd be happy to do that. Would you raise your hand where you are? Take it down. I'll see it. God, I'll see it. God bless you. God bless you. Father, in these next few moments now, turn these desires into decisions. Lord, turn these wishes into actions. Give grace to those who have raised their hands and help them to be obedient to you. For others with whom you are working even now, Lord, I pray that you'd give them no peace until they yield to you. Take these next few moments of invitation. Because that the Spirit of God will do the work that only he can do. And may some dear, precious, precious saints do business with you today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to The Shepherd's Heart, produced by SheepGazette.com.